Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome to the Full Time Devils podcast. I'm Adam McCullough. Today I am joined by James Young and Andy Tate, who has just broke the chair, as you have seen if you're on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, then that's a reason to get onto YouTube and check this out. And make sure you're checking us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify and Audio Boom as well. We're in just ahead of the Chelsea game, after the Norwich game. So we're all feeling good at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, really feeling good and happy. Amazing what a football couple of results can do for you. Walking into work with a swagger and an happy smile, isn't it?
A happy smile? What other kind of smiles are there, Andy? Is there a sad smile? What's a sad smile look like?
Go on, Andy. Show us a sad smile.
That's maybe the Joker. Smile. The Joker could do a sad smile. I don't know.
This podcast already has just fucking gone from a working glass. Andy doing sad smiles. Welcome to James.
2 weeks ago, you were just talking about Phoenix Knights, weren't you, for like half the episode. Yeah. It was so shit after.
That was the international break after we had lost against Newcastle.
Yeah.
Couldn't blame anybody. Welcome to the podcast, James. Thanks for joining us. You have been on the channel before, so you're not new to the channel. But
Well, probably new for people that only listen to this podcast. Like, I've only been on this channel, to be fair.
I feel sorry if there's people that only listen to this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been on, like, previews and that sort of thing. So I'm not like a... Like, if you think you're a regular to the channel and you've never seen me before, that's probably why.
Well, if they're a regular to the channel and they've not seen you before, they're not a regular to the channel.
Well, they're not.
Picking holes in everything that these guys are saying. You're taking no prisoners, are you?
Not today.
Yeah. If they're just passing smile,
and if you're regular,
I phoned Jay at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, fucking got an idea today, Jay. Mate. We're sorting this ship out.
He's always on the ball, Adam.
I'm not always. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm on the ball. Other times I talk.
Well,
balls.
You both have got to be on the ball, haven't you?
You can listen to Talking Balls with Kyle and Gaz every week there from 6 to 8.
I was thinking there'd be one day we'd get through a show without hearing how Gaz is on fucking BBC. James comes along.
Well, I've got to plug it because I'm on there like once a week now. Well,
everyone is anyone here not been on Talking Balls?
And Abdul.
I had Gaz's job once.
Yeah, you had it. When he went to
I haven't got it.
Netherlands.
I've never been on it. Yeah.
You're not really?
No.
I mean, he must be the only one in Manchester who's not.
You have? I phoned you on it, you joker.
Oh, God, yeah. For 5 minutes.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about in the studio, you pleb.
I didn't mean that either.
I've been in the studio. I've just been on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm either Jay from Earlham or...
James from Withenshaw. I've got no relation to Withenshaw whatsoever.
Andy from Withenshaw.
Andy from Ancoats.
Ancoats.
In it.
Up and coming Ancoats.
Oh, yeah, very posh New Islington now.
Now you go buy up some of them dilapidated buildings up there now.
Jesse Lingard's got two apartments around there from what I've heard.
It's a place to be. Eh? It's not just brass caps around there.
Is that where you have to get sent to live when you don't get any goals or assists?
And Colts.
If your business is going down and losing money, that's what I've heard from him.
That's daft though, because every startup business loses money in the first year. Every startup business.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, I don't know many people that were buying his stuff.
Well, I do. Not me.
Yeah.
But oh, a lot right. of, sorry.
What you don't understand is, like, yeah. I've got a little sister, and I, her friends don't watch football, but they wear Jesse Lingard clothes. It's like, he is. I don't think we realise, because we are Manchester United fans that go to the game every week, we don't realise the impact that these lot have culturally as well. Like, Raheem Sterling, outside of football, he is a massive star. And I think a lot of these players are, outside of football, massive stars. And Jesse Lingard is, whether you like it or not, he's another one of these guys that kids look up to. And yeah.
It just looks like really shit swag to me, his merchandise.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm nearly 40, so I don't really know what's down with the kids are down with. But like you were saying, Maka, about he's, you know, lost a bit of money. But in terms of how much money he's got, I don't think he's going to be worrying.
Every company will make a loss in the first year. And he would have... I'm not defending his clothing brand.
I do think the whole thing was blown out of proportion a little bit.
Yeah, George, you best had his own place on Dean's
Gate. He had a shop with Mike Summerby, didn't
he? He had his own crisps, George Best.
Yeah, and he was selling sausages.
He was also slinging sausage as well. Yay. Everywhere. Hey, go on, Georgie. Rest in peace. God bless his soul.
I think that that arena thing as well. I remember Lingard posted that like memorial of like the arena attack, and it had like his logo on the thing, and everyone like attacked him for it, like personally, as if it was like him that ran his own.
Yeah, it's like when it happened with Phil Jones as well. Yeah. The music one, he had PJ4 at the bottom.
he's not sat at home tweeting.
But Tom Cleverley had it TC23 when he first come through.
I remember in Scotland, I had a go with him about that, and he bit. And he like did an explanation of it.
He took his Twitter account down.
Yeah. He probably said it's really got to me that.
That's I don't of, mind it. That's only one of Andy Tate's famous line. And I tweeted him for that.
What?
About Cleverley.
Tweeted him for that.
What was the line you said?
Cleverley is a poor player, and I tweeted him for that.
You know, no abuse, no nothing like that.
I remember this. I remember this.
You had a poor player and you don't deserve to wear the shirt.
No abuse. Just ripping his career apart.
I just tweeted him, telling him he shouldn't be playing football.
He was helped by a very good set of players, though, to be fair. It was
Tom Cleverley.
If he was in his team now, he'd be
no,
like...
he's a good footballer. Where's he? Pass a move. He's a good footballer.
Watford still. I thought he was at Villa.
He's doing well at Watford as well. I think, you know, going down. a lot of people get confused between, like, you can be a very good footballer and not make it at Man United.
Yeah,
like, but Man United is the, do you know what I mean? It's the pinnacle, like...
People forget as well, like, the amount of, you know, I mean, we're already in that range now because the channel's been around long enough. Where we've predicted young players, oh, they're going to smash it, they're going to do that.
I said Paddy McNair and Tyler Blackwood winning the league.
Both Jackson, Paddy McNair, two good examples going back a few years ago. I remember being adamant that Sally Cook was going to be the new future of Manchester United.
He played against Villa in the 3-1 defeat, didn't he?
Yeah.
What about that Keane? Nothing with kids. A couple of years ago.
But he got injured against Preston, didn't he?
No, Keane or Van Gaal.
Will Keane.
Yeah. Will Keane, he was up and promising.
Marcus is chance that injury, didn't it?
Yeah.
This is what I mean, like, you know, these were players, they've got it. I thought Ryan Sunnicliffe would make it. And I think he's at, I don't know where he is now, he's further down the league. He's still playing for Preston.
Prunier, he's another one.
I can go back even further.
There's no way you remember Prunier.
Prunier wasn't a youth team player. No. We brought him in on loan.
Yeah, but to be fair to
And it was just an awful signing. No, it wasn't. But there's no way you remember Prunier.
Right, Prunier got a bad rap because, right, he played two games. The first game he played all right. The second game, he was against Spurs and he got a bad reputation for it.
Well, he does.
Because of the... I think there was like... Someone got sent off or something, right? And what happened was he got offered an extension on his trial and he was like, look, I've been playing in League Off for like whoever. And he sort of told Fergie to piss off a bit. But there's an interesting article actually for these Football Times about him saying that everyone was wrong about him.
William Prunier.
He's flogging everyone today, isn't he?
I know, you are like, you're on it.
Old players, yeah. I remember.
I'm just amazed how a teenager remembers William Prunier when I don't really thought.
I remember William Prunier, but not in that depth. I just remember people taking the piss out of him.
I remember late 80s, 80, 89, Russell Beardsmore, Lee Sharp breaking through into the first team. And Sharpie went on to bigger and better things, didn't
he? To be fair, yeah. I always think Russell Beardsmore gets a bad rap.
I thought he was all right.
Because everyone always says, like, oh, you know, he's terrible. And like, he wasn't. He scored against the Scousers, didn't he, Russell
Beardsmore? Oh, yeah, like, New Year's Day 3-1, 89.
But he was the first one. Because don't forget, we bought Lee Sharp, bought him from Torquay. Russell Beardsmore was literally, like, the first youngster that came through.
From around my way, innit? Lee Sharp.
Yeah, he is. He's from Hales Owen.
Canuck.
Yeah, he's from Hales Owen.
Russell Beardsmore, I think he's at Bournemouth in a youth coach capacity in the community.
He's done a bit on MUC, and I think he only played like 40 odd games.
Yeah.
Taibbi gets a bad rap as well, because his first game against Liverpool, he got man of the match, didn't he?
Who?
Taibbi.
Massimo Taibbi.
Yeah. And then he got Southampton.
He came from, was it Torino at the time, or Parma or something. Anyway, We have been asking for some questions. Let's stop talking about Russell Beardsmore and all that shit.
Peter Davenport.
And William Prunier.
Start dropping.
We've got a lot of questions in on the old Twitter today. Let's try and find a good one. Someone asked us, what sponsor do you want after Chevrolet?
Aldi.
No sponsor. How about that?
Never happened. Never happened.
83 Cup final. We didn't have nothing
on the sponsors. 91 Rotterdam. No sponsor.
Let's go back to Sharp Electronics.
Sharp's a local company, isn't it?
Sharp. It's Danish, isn't it? Sharp.
I don't know.
It used to be a big Manchester up near my school. Was it on Fort Road, Oldham Road? Big Sharp Electronics.
That great squad photo in there in the mid-80s of all the squad with like Sharp Electronics.
That's retro, yeah. That, mate.
VHS players and all that. Yeah, bring back Sharp Electronics. Mm. That's Manchester.
All right, sweet. Andrew Wall says, when Luke Shaw comes back from injury, do you think that he will still be the number one choice at left-back following the emergence of Brandon Williams?
Yes, I do, but he shouldn't be. I think he will, but I don't think he should be. That makes sense to people. I would have Brandon Williams.
It's nice to have competition.
He's
going to keep him on edge. So to have two players fighting for that position is going to be good.
I think not just two. Does Ethan Laird as well?
Well, like I say, we need healthy. We need healthy competition for each position.
I don't even think Luke Shaw should be like second or third choice.
No, I think after that injury he had against PSV, I don't think he's been the same player since.
No, I think that goes without saying, but. I don't think I'd go as far as you saying he shouldn't be second, third choice. I think he's done enough to still be in the squad. I just think he needs competition. I think what he probably needs the most is competition.
Would you have Tuan Zabi over him?
At left back, no.
You wouldn't have.
Because you know why? I don't want Tuan Zabi to do well for a season at left back and just become a left back. No, the guy is a quality centre half.
Right, no, that's fair enough.
I'm sure he was player of the season last year, wasn't he?
I know, but I just... See, we've had this on before. He says Paul Bryce and Lindelof.
Lindelof was nowhere near player of the year.
He was.
Nowhere near.
He was our most consistent
player. He just surprised you the most.
No, but he was our most consistent player.
He surprised you the most.
Yeah, and he was also...
For what, 3 months at the back end? Our most consistent player was Paul Pogba.
But what about, like, without under Mourinho, where he just stopped playing?
Who?
Pogba towards
the whole
end.
Team stopped playing. Yeah, but I hate that shit.
You were saying consistency, right?
He's fucking not playing. Of course he's playing. Mourinho was just shit at the end. Right. Do you think United will invest in January? Says Ben Lewis. No. In the front line, he's actually said.
Yeah, they're going to have to, definitely, because you're going to, much as now this little international break has helped Rashford, Martial's back, you're going to need a little bit of cover because there's a big Christmas programme coming up as well, consistent games and maybe little FA Cups coming around the corner. Get a second half of the season, Europa League as well. You're going to need some cover, definitely midfield as well.
There's been talk about Mandzukic. There's been talk about a young midfielder from Lille.
I don't get Mandzukic.
Boubacar Samari.
Mandzukic because Woodward gave that interview to Mitten, and he was saying like United are going for young, hungry players and all of this stuff, and Mandzukic just goes against that completely.
No, but.
There's no experience.
But that's, it's like, you can't just have
Herrera,
a team of 23.
We can't have players like Mandzukic who are going to come in and be okay for
besides
like
the point of whether it's Mandzukic or not, just because we have said we're going to sign young, hungry players, it doesn't mean you can't complement the squad with the right experienced players.
Yeah, but Mandzukic...
Just because if we sign an experienced player, he comes to, Ali's, he's not doing what he said because he signed an experienced... Maybe we need experience.
Yeah, but we've been experienced before. Look at like Schweinsteiger, Sanchez. None of them worked out.
But that's like you can't get the right players. You'd never sign another player if you just had one bad signing and you were just like, all right, we can't sign anymore.
Was experience. He was a good example of experience that worked out for a brief period. My only issue with Mandzukic is if he comes in, and I think expectations may be a little skew if because he's not going to get you loads of goals, Mario Mandzukic. I don't mind that signing, if I'm being honest.
He gets double figures every season, by the way.
He doesn't.
He does.
He's not played in the Champions League squad.
He's not. Like,
double figures
most seasons. Five goals last
season or something. Well, if you get him in January,
100% gets. Look, I don't think. I don't know whether Mandzukic is the man or not.
I think
that's my point.
But what I'm saying is, just because we sign an experienced player, it doesn't mean we've gone against.
What I was saying was that Mandzukic is one of those players that could come in, cost a lot of the club in wages, get injured,
and then how do you play? He's dropped his wage demands, allegedly.
His birthday's a day before mine.
Right.
Well, he's 33, 34. Zlatan's 39.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Tell me again.
11 in all competitions.
Tell me again how I'm right.
13 in all competitions.
Tell me again how I'm right.
So he scores like 1 in 4.
The last time he scored less than 10 goals,
yeah.
James weren't even born yet.
What year
2010.
Was that? Piss off, mate. 2010. Mate, I'd been to
James
Old Trafford.
James was watching William Prunier when he was in the room. Like, don't give it that. James was watching Peter Davenport before his dad was born.
Right, no, his first word is William
right,
Prunier.
The reason why I know all this like random shit is right.
Right.
When people were kids, right, they'd watch like kids' TV or whatever. Yeah. My dad would just stick like the 93, 94 double season on VHS, and I just watched that. So,
mate, I was at the games when William Prunier played. I can't barely remember.
Remember when was it? We lost to Tottenham 4-1, and he was in that game, wasn't he?
Jay was a major druggie at that point.
No, that was before my heyday. I was only 14.
Drinking cider.
White lightning.
I just started on the 2020. Cider, yeah. But I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't in my heyday.
Ermston massive.
Let's not go there. Cause like AA when I'm on this channel.
Nah, it's true. I think we've got someone as. You know how I just remember random weird
autistic.
Things? I think he's joined me on the panel.
Yeah, you're like bad for it. Because I can't remember things. I can't remember games. I remember like certain games, but he's really like on the ball with it.
94, but I remember that. The Cheltenham Athletic. Schmeichel got sent off. Les Sealy came on. God rest him.
I remember that.
And United went into overdrive.
Mark Hughes went in midfield and he had a mincer.
Andre Kanchelskis. Carl
Learburn played for Charlton.
Absolutely spit roasted him.
They had the Stretford Paddock, the Charlton fans. Yeah. I stand there, but I got moved.
Who was it? What game was it when we had that keeper and he only played like two minutes or something right
Nick,
at the end?
Nick Culkin.
That's the one, yeah.
Come on against Arsenal, didn't it? Yeah.
After Van der Haal got
I worked with Nicky Culkin once.
Did you?
Played football with him.
Really?
I think it was me and Crawler, Clayton Blackmore. You know, loads of United legends.
Clayton Blackmore, Sunbed.
Picking up these names that you dropped.
Yeah. Clayton Blackmore, Sunbed.
At the MUTV,
you could still whip a free kick in the top bins.
Oh, yeah.
I've always found it funny.
Talking about Crawler, he's got his last fight coming up soon.
Come on, Ant.
Apparently, he wants to come on here, but.
Mate, don't get started, right?
His actions don't suggest that.
I've spoken to him, we know him, don't we? He says he will come on here, but it's been like. Obviously, he's training
now. Now is the time. You've got a fight to promote.
Come on, Ant.
Come on, get in dunking mode.
He's a champ.
Be great to see him. Have a last.
I think he's scared of losing. Minus 10 top red points from coming on here.
Mate.
He gains top red points if he comes on here.
See what I mean? Don't worry about that.
They're going UFC next, won't they?
Who's he fighting?
That's why it's good. You just want to see him win, don't you?
You do, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like when he fought, what's his name? Dal Jordan, is it?
Jordan.
Yeah, he just wanted, that was like.
It's not like Tyson Fury going into WWE, is it? Or, I think.
It's funny story, me and my dad. Sat watching WWF yesterday. It's weird. Cause like he was like, I remember I had to record this for you. Come down at 3 o'clock in the morning and stick the VHS on.
See, I was never really into it.
Hulk Hogan.
I was watching WrestleMania 17, Stone Cold vs The Rock. It's pretty nice.
Stone Cold, yeah.
Stone Cold is the greatest of all time.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Not a clue.
He might be better than Ronaldo.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's who I remember.
My grandma used to have a poster of
Ultimate
Warrior.
David Boy Smith, he was from Wigan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was showing me them. What was it? Big Daddy A-Stats.
Big Daddy, that's the 80s English one.
Yeah, they were English. He was like, I went like, ain't they English? Ain't they American?
Ain't they
American? And he was like,
used to wrestle World of Sport in the 80s. And this is me showing my age now. Mm.
You didn't need to say that, Sean.
Bellevue.
Really?
Late 70s, early 80s, Saturday afternoon, we had the sport. Little old grannies beating the wrestlers up. Big Daddy there protecting them.
Yeah, big fat lads they were, weren't they?
Yeah, they looked after themselves.
Yeah,
athletes.
Proper athletes. Someone asked before we start, before the people at home that want to hear about football start going mad.
For our international audience.
At Shameless Season says, is Aaron Wan-Bissaka the best player of all time or just the best player since World War II? Good question.
And the year around before World War II.
James was.
James was watching Billy Meredith.
At the moment,
1894.
At the moment, he's the best, because in the position in the Premier League, he's the best last two seasons, yeah.
Is he as good as Charlie Mitten was in his heyday, James?
He hasn't been to South America, so I can't compare.
How good is Aaron Wan-Bissaka been on a serious note, though, James?
No, he is good, yeah.
In terms of 50 million as well.
We've been waiting for that type of player for ages. Since we've had people covering at that sort of position, like Young and Valencia, that aren't proper fullbacks, and then Wan-Bissaka's came in this season, it doesn't take back to that Woodward interview that he was doing. He was we've got this supercomputer to decide what type of players we want. It doesn't take a supercomputer to make you look at players like Wan-Bissaka and go, right, we need to sign him.
Yeah, he's on Match of the Day every week.
He went through like a database, 1,500 players, then he got it down to four, and then he got it down to him. And it's like you said, anyone who watches Match of the Day or who has a passing interest in football would know that of the available right backs, he's the best one.
The 2-3 game and Matic scored.
Yeah, he got man of the match, wasn't he? Yeah. That's what I mean. You know, you talked about the other week when Tim Fosu-Mensah went over there on loan and was playing at right back, and then Wan-Bissaka came through, and that was the end of that.
It's just going forward, he has to improve his game a bit, innit? Because
I think that's a bit of a...
That'll come in time.
I hear what you're saying in terms of final delivery, but some of the things that he did the other day, winning the ball, high up, passing it on very quickly, It helps to set up attacks as well. And
everyone was like that. He could swing in across, you know what I mean? So that'll come in time.
I've always said, I know it's early doors, but for me, Wan-Bissaka looks like he could fit into best ever teams. I think he wouldn't look out of place in it. If you put him in the 99 team, I don't think he looks like out of his depth.
Is he as good as Wes Brown?
No, I love Wes Brown.
Would City would cry out for him now? You know what I mean?
If they got a right back.
I don't know, because they're all over the place, aren't they?
Kyle Walker's still leaving.
There was a question as well. I want to find the name of it, but this was a question. Because someone mentioned this. Was it Gaz who mentioned it on the a preview that he could possibly do a right centre-back role?
Someone like
that. Allow Diogo Dalo to play wing-back. Is that a position you'd want to see him in, or do you think you just keep him in his same position?
For me, he's an outstanding right-back. I've said menus speaking the other week about this, and I think he's genuinely world class.
I'd keep him there.
I think we should be fixing the left back
position. That was Theo, by the way, who asked me that.
Fixing the left back position, not now we've got someone who's mint in the position, let's move him. No, let's get the left back position sorted, and then hopefully, maybe like you were saying earlier, Axel can be Harry Maguire's long term partner. You've got a back four there, back five, counting De Gea, that's fucking
decent. What happened to Fosu-Mensah? Because he was
massive injury.
He just had bad luck as well in terms of moves, in terms of getting dropped by Van Gaal. I think.
Do you remember that Spurs game he played brilliantly in?
Yeah. West Ham away a few years ago. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
Even the game where Rashford scored twice against Arsenal, he was good in that game as well. You're someone that's watched a lot of players coming up, the Busby Babes, Class of 92, etc, etc.
I'm just living another life for someone else. So.
Crawford asked, is Greenwood actually ready for the first team, or are we as fans overhyping him and forcing this status on him?
I don't think it's sensible that we're putting this much pressure on him.
And are we?
I think some people are. Yeah, I mean,
it didn't
help in the pre-season tour, for example, when he was putting in goals against Perth Glory, or whatever, and everyone was building him up as this next big thing. I think the thing is with Greenwood, you need experienced players around him for him to do well. And if you look at Hansen said you weren't with anything with kids or whatever, and everyone mocked him, but he was right. Because if you look at that squad, we had experienced players in that team, so it wasn't just young players. You know, you still had players was it Pallister was still in that squad?
Pallister, Bruce, Michael Keane. You're right.
Exactly. Robbo was still hanging around?
No, nah, he'd gone. Robbo's been gone
94.
Well, Eric as well came back in October. But you're right, I completely agree. I think everyone's got carried away the Class of 92 idea.
I think he will do well, but we need to sign another striker.
I don't think he's overhyped.
No.
I don't think he's overhyped.
I think the reason the hype's around him is because his numbers are under 23, under 18 level. A generational, there's not many players that get that kind of numbers.
And under 18, and then he's come in, he's good.
And he's come in, men's football, scored a few goals, not even played that well. I think there's a reason to be excited, but also, you see Ollie, he's not forcing it too soon. So I think that's kind of tempering the expectation.
The Class of 92 is a myth anyway, because everyone, the brand that they've got, it's everyone came through at the same time, all these 12 players. It's bollocks, because Neville made...
Why are we talking about the Class
Neville,
of
Neville made his debut way before Scholes did against, was it Torpedo Moscow that he was against?
I'm sure you know.
Right. And then Scholes was 95, 96. Giggs was playing in Division 1.
Giggs came through very early.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But Nicky Butt, Neville, not Phil, Beckham,
Robbie Savage, etc., played together in that class of 92, in the F. That's why they're called the class of 92. And Giggs was still flirting around with that team. That's why they're called the class of 92. I understand what you're saying in terms of we hear this branding and all that. And let's be real. Really, only three of them were great players.
Don't get me started on the Phil.
Gary Neville's not a great player. Phil Neville's not a great player. Nicky Butt was a very good player. He was the best of them three, but he was not a great player. Beckham, great player. Scholes, great player. Giggs, great player. Gary Neville was the best right back around, but was he a great footballer?
I think he's a little bit underrated, Gary Neville.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think, because everyone goes on about he had Beckham in front of him, which I get, but
he gave his all.
Yeah. That's right. He was just so consistent.
That's the thing, right? With Ashley Young, like, people always give him like loads of shit. Like, me included. I remember in the previous that I hate him. And I take that back.
You're related to him, aren't you, Jamie?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, we're so similar in terms of ethnicity. right, Ashley Young, right? Because he tries his hardest every week. It's not his fault he keeps on getting picks like all the time.
It's not his fault he keeps getting picked.
Are you kidding me? No. To be fair, though. Well, he's right. He's not going to say boss.
No, I don't question his commitment.
He did a tackle Sunday on an Norwich player that could have been a red
card. I'm not saying he's a good player.
He's trying to go, oh, no. He makes silly tackles sometimes.
He's trying his hardest.
What I love about Ashley Young is when he gives the ball away, bollocks someone else.
Mm.
That's proper captain sipping too.
From when we're like bird shat in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stole something to him now.
But like that first season,
it could have been so different for Ashley Young, you know. If we'd have won, I know it's important. If Aguero hadn't scored that goal, everyone would have loved Ashley Young because he had a mincer in that run up.
Remember that 8-2 against Arsenal? And he played great.
2 against Tottenham as well, and the one against Blackburn as well.
Mm. Well, he was a bit of a diver though, wasn't he?
Who?
Ashley Young.
Like, the diving scenario that season. Yeah, he dived against
QPR at home.
QPR. Yeah. He dived in the match previous. But fuck it, we're chasing the title.
James dived on the weekend. I just think he's quite weak, so he gets pushed over a bit easily.
I think when you're that quick as well, you're a little knot when you're that quick. Speak from experience.
Be a young player of the month, James.
But by the way, though, I criticised him during the Liverpool. Well, I praised him after the Liverpool game, but I had a little moan about the second half when he could have put Rashford in.
Really changed.
And he did that. Like, it was like, sometimes we kind of forget that these players are new teammates. So they're going to learn new things about each other. And like, I imagine maybe they watched that game back against Liverpool. Daniel James saw there was a number of moments where he could have picked out Rashford and just didn't make that pass. For the second goal, he makes that pass. Rashford's in, is the perfect pass. He also made a similar pass to Martial. In the second half, of Martial, it was a save from Krul at the near post. But he found that pass, so hats off to him. He's finding the quality ball as well. Whereas earlier on this season, he kind of had all the pace, getting into the right positions, the final ball wasn't there. He's finding the final ball as well now, which is great. All of Ollie's signings have been good, haven't
they? Oh, yeah, but arguably our three best players.
They're quite obvious signings, though, aren't they, to be fair? Like, I'm giving him credit for signing them. But, like, you know, it didn't take a genius to decide that those were, like... But especially... James, to be fair, wasn't, like, one that we made aware of. I didn't realise how good he was. But, like, Wan-Bissaka and Maguire were quite obvious.
The difference is with Ollie as well, and this is something he might live or die by, is where with Mourinho, from what we gather, he'd have accepted a signing before he wasn't going to get another signing. So with Fred, for example, he obviously didn't rate Fred.
No.
But he got him because he wasn't going to get a different midfielder, where Ollie's made his, like, priorities, and if I don't get them, then... We wait. And still, I think there's still a bit of value in that, but it's just whether
I still think it was crazy, though, selling Lukaku and Sanchez and not doing anything.
Of course it is.
Letting Sanchez go was not crazy.
Letting Sanchez go was not crazy.
Not replacing Sanchez was not crazy.
Why?
What the fuck did he contribute? Tell me one thing he did for us. Don't worry, I'll wait.
In that position, in terms of squad depth.
It's like saying if Man United had me in the squad and then they let me go tomorrow, they don't need to replace me, bruv. I'm shit.
It's the same with Alexis Sanchez. I don't think it's just Sanchez on his own. I think when you take
Lukaku, I understand. Yeah,
when you're taking Sanchez, fair enough. Lukaku though, and people, I don't care. People like Herrera, even Fellaini, there's goals there, there's influence, there's experience, and you're not replacing any of it. It's madness to me. At least
replacing Herrera, stupid. Replacing Lukaku, stupid.
Yeah.
But let's not change history with Alexis Sanchez. He stank the place out. He was awful for a long time. He had one good performance in an FA Cup game at Arsenal. And really, we don't miss him. We do not miss him. Mason Greenwood, I think he's already outscored Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, like, what the hell was the point in Alexis Sanchez?
Well, it was a PR stunt, wasn't it?
It was a fucking disaster.
No, it was. It made sense at the time.
At the time,
no,
yeah.
No, we don't need to be saying, like, we shouldn't have sold him. We should have.
Maybe
we
should have kept Mkhitaryan.
And now the geezer's injured.
We haven't even sold him yet, have we? No. Still paying his fucking wages.
Oh, yeah, well, there's Smalling as well.
Christmas, isn't
it? Smalling actually been sold, or was he on loan?
He's on loan. He's on loan. Roma won him permanently, which is fair play.
You know what? I wish Chris Smalling well, man. I hope he does well.
I'd rather Jones.
I hope he does well at Roma.
Yeah. He's already. Yeah, like, you see that? Damning with faint praise there.
Was it last week? Is it last Thursday? The bar lit him in the face. And he got given a ball.
That's such a Chris Smalling thing to
happen
to him.
Yeah, it is.
It's just that. Did you see
the Chris Smalling all over? VAR this season in the this weekend, German Bundesliga.
I'm sure James does.
The
players stopped it from going on. He gives a penalty.
That was going to be my Wally of the week. Not to the ref, to the player.
VAR, it's quality, isn't it?
For those that don't understand Andy's interpretation of what happened in the Bundesliga, there was a player warming up behind the goal.
Yeah.
The opposition had a shot.
Right, because I've not seen this before.
It went miles wide.
Right.
Could have had two goals next to each other. It would have went wide.
Right.
The sub warming up has stopped the ball from fully going out behind the goal.
Right.
But as he stopped it, it was still a millimetre in play. And because he was in the 18-yard box, the referee's given a penalty booked him.
Right.
So, like, I imagine it was quite natural if a ball's coming your way at that speed, you kind of just, you know, here you go.
Yeah.
He did the keeper a favour. The keeper didn't have to run around getting the ball, didn't have to bring the ball boy into play.
Yeah.
The game's
but
gone.
Because it was just it. Nah, it's realistically, it's the right decision.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, is like, if the rules are the rules, should they not be adhered to? Because when you start interpreting the rules, is that not where.
Fingers
problem start.
If that happened in a Premier League match, would it all kick off?
No, because if that's the rule, you then can't say, but there's no buts.
This is what I'm saying. If that is the rule and it's adhered to as a rule, there's no interpretation or grey area. It's if you break this rule, this is what will happen.
Like offside, then, like, you were talking about daylight.
If that was against
the
Scousers, they'd be going off their heads.
Who gives a fuck? The fact is, it was the correct decision. Whether you like that rule or not.
It's like the whole offside thing, right? And there's these lines that we saw with Sterling's goal against West Ham and everything and all this shit. I get it. It is, you know, it is nitpicking and this is why people don't like VAR and all that. But again, it's that thing. If that's the rule, then that's what you're doing.
What is daylight?
Do you know what I mean?
People saying like daylight.
Daylight isn't a rule anymore.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm
saying.
That
people say it should go back to daylight. Well, what is daylight? It's interpreted.
You don't. You can't. Yeah, you can remember Nobby Styles' debut. You can't remember daylight.
No, I remember it. I'm just saying like.
Daylight was so interpreted.
I know what it is. I'm just saying. I just don't.
So what are you on about?
All I'm saying is. Like, when you interpret daylight, it's not like a specific thing, is it?
It is!
It's not.
Right,
it
is! If you see daylight, for those listening, Adam McCullough's now walking over to James.
Now there isn't daylight.
Yeah,
but he's doing a visual demonstration of what daylight
is. If we're talking like millimetres, then what is it?
Like, I think the thing, right, is.
I think daylight's better.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking
about. That is an advantage.
We're not talking about if I've got. Size 11s, he's got size 8s. My foot's bigger than his, so I'm naturally going to be ahead of him. Even if we're in line, I'm still going to be ahead of you. My willy's longer than his, playing me offside. Know what I mean? Luis Suarez's teeth could literally make him offside.
Your teeth are offside, he could.
Isn't it? They literally could.
It's madness, isn't it? There's no advantage there.
They are, VAR could rule Luis Suarez offside for his teeth because you can score with them.
Yeah.
So that song is actually factually
I think we've found the title for this podcast.
Right, moving on to the Chelsea game.
What's going on with Andy Tate? Control this podcast. Look at this nonsense and visual demonstration of daylight.
Do you want to take the League Cup seriously? I do.
I can't remember what I said earlier on in the preview. I want to be consistent in my answer.
You said yeah.
Listen, we're all about silverware at this club. People forget that. And even in the post-Fergie malaise that we've had, with Malady even, we've done all right with
free
trophies.
Cups. We've done three cups.
Not the free
most important cups, granted, but we've won trophies. And as a youngster, as James will remember in the League Cup final in 91, 92, he was there.
See, what we got beat by Sheffield Wednesday.
That was 1990-91, by the way, Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, 92 is where we beat Forest, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Rumble scored the win.
By the way.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, those results, even going more recently, the Zlatan winner, as we were talking about earlier, against Southampton.
Spurs.
Yeah, you know, it's good to win. It's good to, it's a trophy. And I think it could buy Ollie a bit of breathing space as well.
I'll take any of them three cups this season.
It makes laugh, right?
Maybe if we sign, if we get a decent, some decent signings in January, we can progress and win a cup.
The only time I really cared about,
you're telling me, like, we finish fifth, win League Cup, Europa League. Fucking hell, that's a get out of jail card. I'm telling you.
I don't want Europa League, though, that's the thing. I wish you could do what you suggested and just not go in it.
Or we just play.
Or
we just play the kids in every match. Under 23 side.
The problem that we can't, because half our kids are actually in and around the first team. And I think plus as well, if you throw in like 11 children against Partizan Belgrade or whatever, it's not doing them any favors. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It's hurting their career. It's hurting their progress. Just throw them into a fucking game like that. You've got to put some experienced players in there.
To win a cup would be great though. For your likes of Wan-Bissaka, Maguire's not won a trophy in his career yet.
Oh no, of course, yeah.
Do you think that's our best way of qualifying for the Champions League through that competition? The Europa League, winning it.
If we beat Partizan at home, that's it. It's put to bed with three games to go, and that's it. You can concentrate on
making
I don't think it is. In terms of, if we win the Europa League, we fuck off the league. That's not good for my mental well-being.
That was a problem. Do you remember Jose?
Yeah.
Do you remember how depressing that? See, because it was great at the end, and Stockholm was really nice, and the League Cup final with Fred was nice. But between that, it was like also, every weekend.
He rolled his luck there as well, Jose, didn't he? Do you remember Celta Vigo?
I was just going to say that. They hit the post, didn't they? Yeah.
That old fellow.
Oh, yeah, he's playing for City.
Yeah, I remember. Like,
Gudetti.
If he had scored, it would have been the season over.
We had a chance to get in the top four. It was like a lunchtime kickoff in 2017. We played Bournemouth, and we missed the penalties last time
Because he had that fight,
didn't he? That was a chance to get into the top four and cement a place, and we didn't take it.
It was every time someone would drop points around us, we'd drop points every time that was
Jose happening. Started doing that thing as well, right, of just being Jose, and it's like he had a point to prove, like, I'm not going for the league anymore, I'm going for the Europa.
I wanted Jose to get sacked at the end, and rightly so, I feel, even he's admitted it, but like when you look back at it now, like yesterday was the anniversary of that Spurs and the Europa League celebrations and Juventus celebrate. There were moments where you really fought.
I mean, for the TV,
And then he's turned on us.
Yeah,
I thought I always had a soft spot for Jose, but that's because he was.
Even Anderlecht rode the luck against us, though, didn't they? Remember that went to extra time that game, didn't it?
That was a long night. Getting home at 12 o'clock. That was a long night.
Last time got injured, didn't he?
Rashford got a winner in extra time.
Right. Wally's of the weeks, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a good week for United, so hopefully, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, sold a party line, there's none of that.
Ed Woodward?
No.
Has he done anything stupid in the last week?
No, he's kept his mouth shut. I heard him speak the other week. I thought I had an irritating voice. You know what I mean? Fucking Essex boy. Fucking irritating
you
voice.
Both have.
Fucking hate him. But,
imagine how irritating and Ed Woodward in a room.
Yeah, that'd be an interview.
I reckon Ed Woodward would have him signed up to something.
Yeah.
He'd be thinking, can't buy me. How can I get... He 100% would buy you, Andy. Let's not beat around the bush here. If you could quit your job and work with Man United, I'm sorry, but you would, and I wouldn't blame you. I actually wouldn't blame you. So let's just say...
Like, then I'm on the Glazer payroll.
There's nothing...
But if you've got a gig with MUTV, would you take it?
Not MUTV, no.
Why?
Because... I'm full-time Devils. Like, this is... Like, I don't need to go
come
there.
Come on.
No.
What's a controlled atmosphere?
You wouldn't get the player gigs.
You're under control. You can't say what you feel.
Yeah, but look at Homewood. He's doing gigs with Wes Brown all the time.
You can't criticise.
Wes Brown's my mate.
Yeah.
I chat to him all the time.
You sign up with their media side. You're controlled. You're like a puppet. You can't say what you feel. And you got
I've worked with them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't work for them.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
I feel sorry for him because like Homewood's tweets and every single response, you just get loads of glazes.
The thing with Sam is, he's always been a very positive guy.
Yeah.
There used to be points on our previews, and I love Sam to bits. So like, you know, I don't see any harm in him going and doing his thing. Let him go and do his thing. He's always been destined for something like that.
And stuff like that.
But like, he has always been like a very positive guy. And there used to be points in previews where I'd say, right, Sam, this is depressing. It's time for you to liven this shit up. You know what I mean? And he would. That's the kind of guy he is. So I don't think Sam. There may be times where he can't tweet what he's actually feeling, obviously. But I don't think he actually, like, you know, it's changed him as a person that he has to do that. It would change me as a person.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I'd work with them, not for them.
I worked for them, didn't I? I opened my mouth, I got the sack.
Work for them, you see it?
No, Manchester United. Sorry, why would they have me on fucking board again?
Right, Wally of the week.
I'm going for all the MPs in London again, Brexit. I'm just fucking sick of it now.
All of them?
All of them. I'm just sick of hearing it. I want it put to bed.
Call it off, man, fuck's sake.
Your mate, David Scott, did a good song about that, didn't he?
Yeah. He's not getting any air. No one will play
it. I'll tell you what, there was a woman on there. Was it Riot? Morning TV this morning.
Is it the one that's called Riot?
Yeah.
Okay.
No wonder no one will play it.
No.
There was a woman. There was a woman, 24 years old, saying over 70s shouldn't have a right to vote. She's talking out of her ass.
It was on the TV
this morning.
It's a good point.
It was on GMTV.
Probably don't know what
they're doing.
Probably didn't.
Oh, our generation is.
When you retire in age, you shouldn't be able to vote.
No, but she's going on about the Brexit's going to cost her generation. You got a right to vote, and she's moaning about over 70s haven't got a right. She's talking rubbish.
Yeah, but if you've got dementia,
You got dementia.
I do get it though. You got, you know, you're making impactful decisions that affect the world.
Right, why can't I vote
for a long term period? You're going to be a rat. Why let a 70-year-old vote and not a 16-year-old? I'll let you think about that one. But this isn't the right. This isn't the show.
This isn't like
Wally of the week.
This isn't the Today Show on Radio 4.
Wally of the weeks.
Wally of the week.
You know, Wally. It's like someone who stood out for you this week has been a right Wally. Who would your Wally of the week be?
Can be anybody.
Can be anyone. It doesn't have to be necessarily.
Can be.
Someone from the football world, as Andy's just proven.
Norwich fans stealing the Ollie's at the wheel chant and making it sound shit. Probably never heard of the Stone Roses.
Can I do mine? I know it's not very original, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know you probably hate it, but Arsenal fans. It's just like
I'd take my hat off to them, to be honest.
Fucking gold back.
Yes.
Don't lose your head, don't you?
That's quality.
Listen, Arsenal fans deserve everything they get.
This is what I mean. Like, booing your captain. We've all agreed Ashley Young ain't the greatest captain. I don't remember booing him. And we have boo players at Old Trafford. I'm not going to tell
me. Did in Singapore,
booing
didn't
your
they?
Captain, and then.
Singapore.
I remember sitting there.
It was a really jolly atmosphere. You actually had a go at him and you reviewed it, yeah, I remember.
Mate, I sat in my chair and I was screwing at everyone around me.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
All right,
we're on holiday! Not boo him on holiday!
At least we don't boo our captain at home. That's all I'll say. Not recently, anyway. I'm going to go for them.
Yeah, one the other week.
Yeah, because he just, no matter what, he always seems to just find a new level of stupidity to reach, don't
we? What about Mike Love 8 Glazer on Twitter? Have you seen it? Hope this helps.
No, I can't believe. You know what? Sometimes I think some of them accounts are actually Glazer Stooge accounts.
Well, like Liverpool fans just trying to divide.
I saw one of them comparing United fans to Jimmy Savile because we were liking players and young players. I just think.
Yeah, that's kind of a little bit weird. Right, let's wrap this up. Thank you for tuning in to the Full-Time Devils podcast. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Audio Boom, all that jazz. Andy Tate's on Instagram. James is on Twitter.
I'm on Instagram as well.
And Instagram.
He's on Instagram, hang on. How many kids?
Followers. I thought these old...
For the record, this is a Cypress shirt.
You don't see Instagram at your age.
Yeah.
Hey, you like you
gets
say,
his
you,
grandson to help.
Your grandson help you out. Got a load of Tippex on the screen and all that.
No, I thought one of those like idiot pens, like
Jay is on RFSH at Twitter.
Red flag
for also, Full-Time Devils, we obviously have a YouTube channel, subscribe to it. We obviously doing loads of stuff, but we've got a website now as well, fulltimedevils.com. which has like player ratings, loads of little blogs. So we've now gone into a written part of things, so you can have that side covered as well. If you fancy yourself as a writer, feel free to get in touch. We're always looking for people to participate in that. And it's a chance, if you, you know, it's a little platform for people.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
If you don't want to jump in front of the camera, you can write something down, even if it's a one-off or something you want to do every week or every month.
Join the community.
Obviously, if you're a bit gone and you're a bit wild, and then don't bother. But, yeah.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.